And now, BBC Radio 4, here's Marcus de Sautoy with another of his five shapes.
I've come down here to Brick Lane in the East End to find out about making this programme's shape, the Bagel. And I'm joined by Sammy, who spent four decades making this shape. We're in the back of your shop, Sammy, and surrounded by dough and hot ovens. I wonder whether you could take us through the process of actually making a bagel.
Yes, there's a flour here. We've got inside sugar, malt, salt, and yeast.
All right, okay.
And it mixes for about 20 minutes. And when the mixing is ready, we're taking it to the other table, and the process goes from there.
From Sammy's bagels to the Polo Mint, from Homer Simpson's donuts to angel cakes, the shape of the hole has become one of the most popular in the culinary world. But it isn't just a great shape to eat. In this program, we'll stuff our bagel not only with salmon and cream cheese, but bendy geometry, Kafkaesque buildings with never-ending corridors, as well as cutting-edge codes. There's more to that innocent-looking hole in the middle than you might think. Mathematician Ian Stewart.
The torus bagel donut in a tube shape is, I think you could make a very good case that this is actually the most important shape in mathematics today.
The bagel is a fundamental building block in the mathematician's portfolio of shapes. But it isn't only its shape which is important. Mathematicians like to translate shapes into equations, and those for the bagel are some of the most mysterious and yet fundamental equations in the world of mathematics.
And then you flatten them on the table.
Okay, so you flatten it down, it's risen, and now we're flattening it down.
That's right. Now, when it's flattened down, we put them on the...
This looks very exotic. Okay, now let's try cutting down, squeezing the dough. Oh, wow. Now it's red-faced, flying round.
Cut it to 36 pieces, and then when it comes up, all the dough stays here, the one already sliced. We take it from here and put it in the boxes.
36 pieces of dough, but no holes yet. Bagels are made from flour and yeast, but circles are the key ingredient for constructing the shape we mathematicians technically call a torus.
Torus is what you get when you take a circle and move it around a circle. Think of your bagel. Hold it square on so you can look through the hole in the middle. What you see is two circular edges, and the dough is in between, and there's a hole. So the bagel is round from that direction. If you now slice through the bagel, kind of at right angles to that, you find a much smaller circular cross-section. And the bagel itself is a kind of family of circles that are arranged around the central hole. So a bagel is a circle's worth of circles.
It's not just mathematicians and bakers that are going round in circles. Recently, architects have started to play around with building the bagel out of bricks and glass, with interesting results. The nation's code crackers working at GCHQ in Cheltenham have just relocated to a new building made in the shape of a bagel. The architect, Chris Johnson, realised the shape's potential to create an open and dynamic working environment.
They found a symbol, not just a building, but they found a symbol. And I think the director did a good quote once. He said, "The building is not simply a roof over our heads, it's the organisation we aspire to become."
Whilst code breaking is by its nature a secretive business, GCHQ were keen to encourage more communication between its employees. The never-ending corridor that runs round the body of the bagel has resulted in a high level of interactivity among people of all ranks working at GCHQ. The fluidity that the shape creates within the building has also been exploited by museums, like the Shirase Antarctic Expedition Museum in Japan. The museum found the natural journey around the bagel to be a perfect shape for leading visitors through its exhibits. Still, bagel-shaped buildings are a rarity. Engineer Tanya Ross.
I'm surprised, in fact, that more buildings aren't built in that shape. You would have thought it might be quite an economical shape in terms of using the surfaces. But perhaps it's just too scary seeing it on plan.
Every time you change one of those dimensions, everything has to be redrawn. So I don't know how many times we drew it. We probably drew it sort of 20, 30 times. Nothing ever stays the same.
They may not be the easiest to design, but bagel-shaped buildings do have architectural features in their favour. Just as the hole in the middle makes the baker's bagel easy to cook, because no dough is too far from the surface, a bagel-shaped building means that no one working inside is too far from a window.
A lot of buildings over the past 20 years have been built with internal atriums, and I think the courtyard is even better than an atrium because it's real outside fresh air stuff. So perhaps it's surprising that there hasn't been more use made of that form. But I do think that city centre sites, for example, where your space is so constrained by your neighbouring buildings, it probably limits the amount of sort of playfulness that an architect can exhibit using these interesting forms, and they're a little more constrained by sharp edges.
Boxed in.
Boxed in, indeed.
Fortunately, GCHQ is located in plenty of open fields, so space was not an issue. Perhaps one of the most exciting consequences of working in a bagel is that it's enabled co-crackers to work outside for the very first time, in the hole in the middle.
That's their own private garden. Part of the brief said that they couldn't be overlooked by anybody else. Well, in that space, they're only overlooked by themselves. So that's actually classified as part of the space, which is secured.
And what's more, the bagel is a particularly appropriate shape to house the nation's co-crackers. The equations that define a bagel are now at the heart of breaking and making the cutting-edge codes that employees at Cheltenham are discussing in the bagel's secure hole.
There's a lot of interest in codes where, in some theoretical sense, you know it's impossible to break them. But none of these codes are yet proved to be absolutely watertight. And there was a big flurry of interest a little while ago when the bagel equations were used to find very efficient ways of breaking some of these codes.
So what does a bagel hacker have to do to break a code?
The link here is prime numbers. A lot of these codes are based on choosing very, very big prime numbers. And better still, taking two big prime numbers, multiplying them together and getting a really gigantic number. And then the secret of the code is knowing what those two primes are. Prime number is one that doesn't have any factors apart from one and itself. So something like 17 is prime. You can't find anything that divides into 17, but 18 is not prime because that's 2 times 9. But these are 100-digit primes or bigger. Multiply two together, you get a 200-digit number. Now, the amazing thing is, if somebody gives you that 200-digit number but doesn't tell you what the primes are, it's usually almost impossible to find out. If you forgot what they were, you could never reconstruct it. It's often called a trapdoor code. It's easy to fall through the trapdoor, and it's very hard to climb out again.
The biggest code number broken so far is 174 digits long. The team that cracked this huge number exploited the subtle mathematics that underpins the bagel to find a way out of the trapdoor and reveal the two primes that built it. Given that security on the internet is dependent on these prime number codes, eBusiness is keeping a careful eye on the code-cracking skills of the bagel. But the bagel isn't only cracking codes, it's making them too. Even Air Traffic Control has signed up to secure the world's flight paths using the equations of bagels. So in future, every time you fly, you'll be trusting your life to the mathematics of the bagel. So here we are, Sammy, in the back of the bagel shop with this wonderful machine which looks like it's going to be making the hole, is that right?
That's right. This is the new tradition. Before we used to do it by hand, now he's going through that machine.
So can we see it in action then?
Yeah.
So the conveyor belt's running along. We put a piece of dough
you
onto the conveyor.
Dough.
Okay, I'll put the dough on.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Oop. Yeah, I can see it going through. Elongating out, and then curve around, going through this thing, and it's sort of joined together. So this little cylinder,
that's right,
joined, and then here we come. Yeah,
that's right. It's come up from there,
and there's the hole.
Yes,
wonderful.
And there's the hole.
And it's the hole in the bagel that makes the shape so interesting for mathematicians. In fact, looking at shapes in terms of the number of holes they have is at the heart of a trendy new branch of mathematics called topology, or bendy sheet geometry. For the topologist, two shapes are the same if you can push and pull one shape into the other. In this Play-Doh world, a sphere and a cube are the same shape, since you can mould one into the other. What you're not allowed to do is to tear the shape, making the bagel very different from the sphere.
If you start with a sphere and join two spheres together with a tube like a dumbbell, it's just another sphere. So the sphere won't do the job, the torus will. Oh. That the hairs on the back of your mathematical neck prick up and you say, ah, this must be important.
And it is. Just as the number one is the building block of numbers, the bagel can be added to itself again and again to create all possible shapes. The sphere, on the other hand, is more like the number zero because it doesn't generate any new shapes. This is why mathematicians rank the bagel or torus as the most important shape in the mathematical universe. Every shape can be moulded into a bagel with a certain number of holes. So, for example, a teacup and a teapot are just bagels with one hole and two holes in disguise. Topology isn't just a kid's game of Play-Doh, though. It's fundamental to attempts to understand the shape of the universe we live in. We know, of course, that the Earth is round. But before we went into space, how could we tell whether we were living on a ball or a bagel? One way to tell what a shape is like without seeing it is to explore the possible journeys you can make on its surface. There is essentially only one way to go round a sphere. But on the bagel, there are two independent journeys you can make. Mathematician Nigel Smart.
One way of travelling round the bagel is to travel right the way round the outside, following the line of cream cheese. So that's basically the one way of travelling round. The other way of travelling round is a cross-section of the bagel. So when you take a cross-section through the bagel, you look at it on its end, you see two circles facing you. And one of the other ways of travelling round the bagel is to travel round one of those circles. And the way of travelling round that circle is completely independent of travelling around the circle which is kind of marked out by your cream cheese filling.
And it's this ability to make two independent journeys on the surface of the bagel that defines the shape. When you can't visualise it, travelling round a shape is a good way of finding out more about it. A vital strategy when you start wondering what bagels look like in higher dimensions, as we mathematicians have a tendency to do.
The bizarre thing is, four-dimensional spaces or five-dimensional spaces or higher dimensions are better understood than three. Two-dimensional spaces are completely understood. Four, five, six, and so on, we know an awful lot about them. And in good old three dimensions, which is basically where we live, we know the least. But what we do know is that if you chop your three-dimensional spaces up and build them out of tori, a kind of analogue, it's a three-dimensional version of a bagel, it's a circle's width of circles' width of circles, rather than a circle's width of circles. It's got three different directions in which it's circular instead of two. But it's still, you know, it's been the natural extension to higher dimensions of the bagel. Those, if you cut up your three-dimensional spaces into those and ask how those join together, you get the best understanding we currently have of what the range of possible three-dimensional shapes would be.
And now, thanks to a businessman in America, there's a $1 million prize waiting for anyone who can prove that higher-dimensional balls and bagels are the only shapes that you can get. One of the seven great unsolved mathematical mysteries of our time. It may sound abstract, but solving this problem could determine whether or not there is a hole at the centre of the universe. Whilst mathematicians are struggling to get their teeth around higher dimensional bagels, Sammy's 3D bagels are ready to come out of the oven.
You just slide it underneath, and all the bagel is in, and from here it goes to the wire. Take it from here and put it in the boxes, which is around here.
That's fantastic.
And that's the lot.
That's the end of the bagel.
That's
so
the end of the bagel. So and then you eat it outside.
Bagel-shaped dough, bagel-shaped buildings, bagel-shaped codes, bagel-shaped universes. It's not only customers in Brick Lane that have developed a taste for this shape.
The bagel was the fourth of five shapes presented by Marcus de Sautoy and produced by Anna Buckley. Well, next week, Marcus explores the blob, from globular cartoon characters to curvy cars. The blob has always been part of our landscape, but now it's transforming city skylines. The new Selfridges building in Birmingham and the Swiss Re building on the River Thames are just a few examples of blobby buildings that could be the shape of things to come. On BBC Radio 4 198 Longwave this week, the summer of cricket draws to an exciting close with the semi-finals and final of the ICC Champions Trophy. Today, the traditional rivals England and Australia play at Edgbaston, then tomorrow it's Pakistan against the West Indies in Southampton, then the winners move on to the Oval for the final on Saturday. And if you are a sports fan, you might like to know that there is uninterrupted and crystal-clear coverage of all the ICC Champions Trophy games over on 5 Live Sports Extra, the digital radio service dedicated to extending the BBC's sports coverage. If you'd like to find more about receiving all the BBC's digital radio services, you can visit bbc.co.uk/digitalradio. It's a quarter to ten, and on 198 Longwave now, the daily service pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela.